Hey, listeners, did you know that Yogi Triathlete offers endurance coaching for body and mind? We offer personalized training plans for endurance sports, wellness and mindset, nutrition and recovery guidance, and race preparation and strategy, all within the supportive community of Team Yogi Triathlete. So if you're ready to conquer your fitness goals and push your limits, our endurance coaches are ready to guide you on the journey to peak performance. Go to yogitriathlete.com today to set up your free 30-minute discovery call and embrace a future of strength, stamina, and achievement. Your goals, our experience, the perfect match for unstoppable success.
Who are your retreats for?
Well, what our guests keep showing us is that it's for yoga teachers. It's for yoga teachers who train teachers. It's for people who maybe are stepping onto the mat for the first time at the retreat. It's people who are curious about a higher state of health and well-being.
There were 11 women that came on retreat. Each night we would post a different Ayurveda quote or maybe an image to consider for the next day along the lines of dinacharya, which is a Sanskrit word for really your daily routine and how we can match our routine with the rhythms of the sun and the earth to really create this almost safety net for the nervous system to feel a sense of more flow in the day.
Permission to receive, I think for many people, can be a very difficult thing to do, but also permission to release, because that was a big part of the somatic practice. But also I think the container that we got to see that was built among these amazing women that were trusting with themselves and with each other and with us, that's what kind of sparked their ability to allow that to happen, to release as so many of them did in the somatic breath work. And even through the asana practice, like we're releasing even there as well, kind of stepping into very uncomfortable boxes that they're typically not put in and allowing themselves to be there is also kind of the place of receiving, whatever that may be. And sometimes it's not always the comfortablest thing to do. But I think when we can say, give yourself the permission, it's this bigger like, oh yeah, I can do that.
Welcome back to the Yogi Triathlete Podcast. This is BJ, your host. Not the normal voice you are expecting, but I'm going to be the hostess with the mostest today. Sitting here with three very, very spiritually enlightening souls that I've been blessed to be around for many, many years. Jess, Meg, and Belle, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, BJ. Thanks, Jess.
Good to be home.
So good to see you guys again. I saw you a few days ago before you embarked on your latest retreat, which was a women's only retreat, the first time you've done this at Ojas Retreat Center in Temecula, not too far from here, but an hour from where we're located right now in Carlsbad. So the Ojas Retreat Center, let's start right there. What is this place? What is its meaning? And why did you guys choose this location?
Well, I had connected with Gabrielle, who's the owner of Ojas, just through Instagram, and I happened to find her. I want to say it was through Rob, our friend who owns Yoga on State here in the village, and was watching her through, I believe she bought it in 2021, and just watching her as she readied it to become a retreat center. It's this beautiful, I believe it was an private home, and she turned it into a retreat center. It's on the Santa Rosa Plateau. It's in the Santa Rosa Plateau region, just north of Temecula in Murrieta. And it's just, it's a stunning environment. Our theme was returning to your true nature and utilizing the nature around us to assist our guests in doing that. But it was just, she just kept showing up in my feed, and she was putting a pool in, and I was watching her videos, and I had sent it to the girls and said, you know, maybe this is somewhere that we want to do a retreat. And they were both feeling it. Meg, I know right away you were like, yeah, I'm feeling this place. And, so what, it's 2024 now. And literally we just checked out at 11 o'clock this morning, but what we bring to our retreats is, you know, it's not just yoga, it's Ayurveda, which is the science of life. We've got some other new offerings that I'm sure we'll talk about in the podcast today. But also, just the name of Ojas was really resonated with us. And Meg, you know a little bit more about that. Can you tell us what Ojas is?
Yeah, Ojas is the Sanskrit word, which means vitality, and refers to an inner fire we need to carry out our purpose. And the land actually in which Ojas is on is so supportive in terms of the energy there is just so great. The first indigenous people were thought to have inhabited that area for about 8,000 years. And just a really beautiful landscape connected right to our theme of remembering our true nature. Just setting up the stage for just the calm surroundings, just gorgeous views. We had this cold plunge pool, which was incredible, a hot tub. Just so conducive for this past week.
And so what goes into the planning of specific locations? Because you have all been to Costa Rica, Temecula, you have the one day is in Rhode Island. Where else have you? Oh, Maui. Oh my goodness. So what goes into sort of searching out these retreat centers?
Well, I'll speak to that because I think there is somewhat of searching out, but it actually shows up to us. I'm kind of put it out there and just spontaneously these centers or these areas start to come into one of our minds, and it's just like we get that hit to do a little bit more researching around it and to see if this is something that's going to make sense. And this particular one, I mean, give us any excuse to come out to the West Coast, and we were excited about that. But also just how it flows in this particular case at Ojas, it was just such a beautiful setup. From the kitchen into where we would hang out in the living area to the bedrooms, it was simple but so beautifully put together. So it was a really kind of easy decision to decide to move on this.
So it's the first women's only retreat.
Yes.
Well, how many women came and like describe maybe why it was a little bit different, or maybe why you set up the environment to support these women at this place?
There were 11 women that came on retreat. And one of the great things about this space was that we had the whole house and center to ourselves. So we had full access to, you know, the hiking trails and all the amenities on the property, and even to the effects of ending with a dance party last night with drums. And like, we didn't have to worry about other, you know, people around or sleeping. We weren't up that late, but, you know, had a blast. And, you know, this was set up a little differently. We sprinkled in, I would say, more Ayurveda this retreat. Each day we focused on a different topic, such as the Ayurvedic clock and the biorhythms of the earth and our routines and how supportive they can be based on Ayurveda for our balanced mind body. And then also Val offered somatic breath work every day, which is a brand new modality. And that also was incredible. Just hearing from the participants and the transformation that they experienced through the somatic breath work, which Val, I'd love, just maybe you'd like to share more here and what that's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. So I decided to take a training with this particular group, somatic breath work, last spring. And it had been something I was looking at for the past couple of years, trying to find the right one that I thought would fit with really what's in line with what we already practice and teach in regards to yoga and meditation. And what was so attractive about this particular training was the way it was formatted. And so each one of us wake up each day and we basically wake up to different stressors that just automatically come into our life, from, you know, interaction from with our families to paying our bills, interacting with the people that we work with. And it's just stress that comes in, and it's not meant to stay within us, right? It's meant to pass through us. But so often what happens is this stress gets pushed down, and over time is like literally a pressure cooker. And I think of that like my mom cooking back in the day with pressure cookers. It's just like all of a sudden you can't take it anymore and it will burst. So this will start to come up. And if it doesn't and we keep pushing it down, it creates dis-ease in our bodies, which can either be physically or mentally. So what this particular type of practice does is it allows us to tap into the stresses through a specific breath technique and gives the participants permission to release them, let them come up and let them out. And there's a lot of breath work that's out there right now. It's kind of the hot thing. But what I loved about this particular type of training was that the way that it's formed, it reminds me of the training that we've done for yoga through Live, Love, Teach, is it's like an arc of a class. So we will support them and guide them and tap into the sympathetic nervous system. And basically, it's work, right? It's work. They're working hard to release all these trapped emotions and stressors and traumas. But we then also support them in being able to bring them down into a relaxed state. Because often what happens is when you release all this stuff, all this junk that we've been carrying around for a long time, there's this space, this beautiful space that's opened up, and we often don't know what to do. And so through another specific breath technique that we utilize, it's a much more relaxed, more calming breath where we're able to bring them now into the parasympathetic nervous system so then they can be in this place of relaxation. And with some of the feedback that we were getting, it was like super transformative. People were feeling extremely light. People were feeling rebirthed. There was a lot of stuff that was happening. And I know it's just, you know, the beginning, this is the first time that we've offered it in our yoga retreat, and the way that we set it up, I think, really flowed well. We started the second full day of the retreat where we did just a 10 to 15 minute, it's called the daily practice, a little introduction into what they'd be experiencing. And then the second day we did what we call a reset, and it's a little bit shorter than what we did the last day, which is a full journey session. And I am so grateful that it's come into my life. I've experienced multiple sessions. I've been able to lead people through Zoom doing it in the privacy of their own home. I've done it now in these settings, and I see tremendous outcomes from being able to offer. So,
and it's not, I don't know much about it. I'm learning from what you're describing. It's not a one and done, like you've brought up the trauma or the release, the fear, the doubt, whatever it is, the anger, and it's released. But is it a constant practice? Is it something that you can revisit and continually explore? Like, what are the stressors that are continually like holding me down or holding me back?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the daily practice that I mentioned is something that people can literally do on a daily basis, right? And I think what happens, and some of the feedback that we were given, is it's once it creates that space, people are then starting to get curious about, whoa, this is what I've been holding on to. Like, this is there. Like, now they're feeling that lightness and so forth. So they want to go maybe deeper into it or just even maintain it, because there's no escaping stressors in life. It's life, right? We all have them. They're coming in. But it's, we were talking about this, we being Jess and Meg and I driving up, one of the terms of just like nervous system sovereignty, like getting to choose when you can turn your nervous system on and when you can turn your nervous system off. And we can do this through breath. It's so closely related once we learn and understand how to do it. Like, we're not supposed to always be in this state of like flight, right? The fight or flight state. But most people are walking around in that. But to be able to notice and understand and have that feeling of, wait a minute, I'm in this state. Let me pause. Let me go to my breath and be able to turn it off. Like, this is really, we want to empower people to get to the point. But yeah, maybe once a month they do these full journeys, but empowering them to know like they have this tool. They don't have to go on an ayahuasca like retreat or ceremony to get there. We have that within ourselves. So that was one of the other big things that I loved and attracted me to this particular type of modality, because it's very much in line with what we teach through the asana practice as well.
Yeah, so in these retreats, you're setting up a safe environment for these people to come and teach them how to take this practice to release stress, anxiety, all this emotions that are holding them back a little bit, able to come to the retreat, practice it, learn about it, and then bring it home into their own lives and their own communities and share that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So Meg and I took advantage of the 10-minute one. I've done some somatic breathwork classes before here in Carlsbad, but it hasn't been for a long time. So we had talked about like, okay, we'll do the 10-minute one because that'll be good for us to kind of just know what these guys are experiencing under Val's guidance. And then we had decided that, you know, we're not going to do the reset and we're not going to do the journey. What we are going to do is support not just the group, but also Val in really creating this powerful container for these women to just let go, you know? And so what none of these women know, unless they listen to this podcast, which was really incredible, is one of the most incredible experiences, I think, was Val was in the middle. We're in this gorgeous pavilion. We've got these 11 women, willing, ready, courageous, ready to roll. And Meg and I are basically on either side of Val with some pretty good space. And we're just sitting in meditation, like in a deep meditation. And we're using the same mantra, Om Tat Sat, which comes from the Bhagavad Gita. And it was for me, and I want to hear your experience, Meg, but for me, like there were a couple of times where I just opened my eyes and I glanced over at like Val being this incredible leader and Meg being so deep in this meditation, knowing that her and I were connecting on like this different realm and connecting with something so powerful by using this meditation. And on this, the third day, which was the journey part, it was like, I felt this stream because you can feel the energy in the room. And it was super interesting for me as I sat there because I could feel this ripple of all this energy, but I also felt the space between where my body was and all this energy. It was really interesting. And I had this thought of like, huh, is that all the work I've done that's saying like, okay, this isn't yours. Like it's not, you're not just going to be a sponge. And then on the second day I felt it again, but then I was like, kind of wanted to, well, how can I be even better? How can I support this room even better? And when I thought that, all of a sudden I just felt it coming right through the center of my heart and up and right out through my head. And I thought, wow, like I get to be the vessel here. And there was, even though it was coming in and going up, there was still this space between the energy in the room and my own personal body, which I think is another thing from the Gita. Is just talks about meditation and how you're protected. And I'm not saying I needed to be protected by that energy, but they're letting go of something that they don't need anymore. So, you know, I don't want to absorb it. And, nor do we need to. And in fact, and that's part of what I believe makes us leaders is that we've done this work that, you know, we're not walking out of there wrecked, you know, and now we need a retreat. And in fact, you know, we walk out of there feeling feeling quite good and, you know, maybe a little bit like, woo, yeah, we just put out some energy. We were kind of just feeling that after our big, amazing lunch. But that was a really incredible experience to just hold that space with you, Meg, and then watch you do your thing, Val, was incredible. Like, man, I got some video of that, of you. I didn't film anybody in the room, but just you.
I want to hear what Meg's experience was on the opposite side of the room, feeling this energy. Yeah.
The first thought that's coming to my mind is when Val described the somatic experience the first day for everybody, there was a quote in the kitchen when she was sharing, and it was from Joseph Campbell, and it's, "The cave you fear holds the treasure you seek." And we read that after. It was like given to us almost as she described it that day. And as I sat and witnessed these 11 women, incredible women, just the courage that it took to show up and move through these breathing exercises, knowing that it could bring up stuff that might be kind of scary and very uncomfortable. And holding that space with them was such an honor. To be there with them. And I did feel an empathetic response as Jess described. And sometimes I felt like tears were welling up just kind of in witnessing it. And then some folks had releases through tears. And so Jess and I would go over and just place a hand on their foot or on their arm. And actually, the ladies we did that with said that it was super supportive because they felt that there was, they were safe enough to release, and they released even more. So it was really incredible. And I personally am still digesting the experience that we had. And I just want to say as well, the space, there was the women, all of us, and this happens on every retreat where it's this safe space where folks can be vulnerable. And there were a couple women who went through the first day, the second day, and were like, I don't know. They said, I'm kind of scared about going to the third one. I don't know. And then they all showed up again. And I think it's just this testimony to this container that can be created with people who are talking about these spiritual yogic practices and practicing meditation and who are so kind and loving.
But it's no different. You all three of you are breaking through barriers and struggles and challenges yourself. You're actually doing the work too. And I think that is something to point out, that you're just not on the pedestal preaching like this is what you need to do. You're actually in the trenches figuring out things for yourselves and try to get to the other side of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What about the Ayurveda aspect of this retreat? So you've got the somatic breath work. You did some Ayurveda as well. Mm-hmm.
We did. Each night we would post a different Ayurveda quote or maybe an image to consider for the next day, along the lines of Dinacharya, which is a Sanskrit word for really your daily routine, and how we can match our routine with the rhythms of the sun and the earth to really create this almost safety net for the nervous system to feel a sense of more flow in the day. For example, meditating between the hours of 2 and 6, which is really, really early for some people, but can be super supportive right before the sun comes up. Also, movement is so valuable between 6 and 10 a.m. because those are the kapha hours. You know, a lot of moisture is in the air. It might be a little harder to move and get out of bed. So getting up, maybe getting a nice walk, bike ride in is great. And then, of course, we've got our pitta hours, which is in midday. The digestive fire is high. It's the best time to have a really big meal, get in your to-do list, you know, more, you'll have more energy. So, you know, this is all around awareness. As soon as, you know, you have the awareness, then you have more of a choice of how do I want to live so that I'm more aligned with true nature, honestly. And so we focused on that. And also the full body massage, which we led them through the self-care seminar yesterday, which was so beautiful. And Jess led them through a face massage. We ended, Val offered a crystal bowl bath, which it was just really beautiful. And we spoke each day during lunchtime about Ayurveda in terms of foods. And we practiced mindful eating together and ate in silence for the first 10 minutes and had a different tool. Because Ayurveda says it's not what you eat so much, but how you eat. And that can be so supportive for digestion. And what was so amazing about our group too, was that they were sponges. Like, everyone was so interested in Ayurveda, and some of them were brand new to it. I thought it was helpful that we sent out the email prior with a documentary about it. They got to take their dosha quiz. So just to have that pre-knowledge, it seemed was good.
We also go, so this is something that came to me, like a big like aha when I went through Live, Love, Teach training. Like, you're there in the experience. You're going to get the most out of the experience when you open up yourself and let down your guard, which is super challenging for a lot of people. And I'm sure there was probably some hesitation into just those words, self-care, like to have a self-care focus. I'm sure there were some resistance or feelings that came up that says, I put myself last, which is something I come up against with athletes and families. Like, their workouts get pushed, their fueling gets pushed. So can you guys speak to that? Maybe the challenges that some people had, and then maybe how they work through it.
Well, first, we didn't even call it self-care. We called it self-love. So that's even deeper. And, you know, by the time the self-love workshop came along, and the only thing I heard was like a couple of people had seen my Instagram story when I had the gua sha out and the oil out. And I said something like, you know, prepping up my routine for the self-love workshop, facial massage, acupressure, lymphatic drainage, and gua sha. And gua sha is, you know, one of the oldest forms of Chinese medicine dating back to the Stone Age. So we did a little bit of everything, and it was really amazing. And so, and also talking about just the medicinal benefits of that, you know, like our face is muscles. So just like our biceps and our abs and our calves, like they can be overstretched, they can be weak, they can be tight, they can be strong, they can be toned. And this is a great way to keep the health of your facial muscles, your neck muscles, even into your chest. Meg led us through a full body Abhyanga massage, which was incredible. You know, starting with our feet all the way up to our necks. And then I kind of took over to the face and the head. So yeah, so we called it self-love. And so the only thing I heard leading into it was that a couple of people had seen my Instagram story and they were like, I'm really excited about the self-love workshop. So I only felt excitement about it. And by the time we did it, it was the last full day. It was yesterday. We checked out this morning. So by that time, they were like sisters. I mean, this group, it was everything. You know, it's never one thing, right? It's a whole bunch of things, but it was the environment of the retreat center. It was that we were all sharing like a home together. It was all women. And then of course, what we always do is we don't force anything. We trust and we meditate together, the three of us on our calls, about allowing those who are ready to come into form together. And I feel like every retreat we have, we're like, oh my God, this group's amazing. This group, oh my God, they're bonding. Because I remember seeing the same thing in Costa Rica this year. Like, they're bonding, they're coming together so quick. But what I did hear about, I heard a couple things of like, I was nervous to come here. But one person said to me, I was a little nervous to come here because I don't know anything about Ayurveda. Like, I'm not a yoga teacher. Like, I don't really even, I just saw that, you know, a friend of mine's meditating. I don't really meditate. I've got children and I've got a business and I'm trying to pursue other things. And so I was really nervous coming here. But literally not long after I walked in the door, it was just this like, whew, like I'm right where I need to be. And that stuff fell away.
We also named on the first night together our three intentions, or together all of our intentions. And Val, you mentioned, you know, this permission to receive this week. So right off the bat, you know, we had this conversation around that, and that this was our intention for the group. And each day we had one word that we focused on. And the first day was notice, the second day was open, and the third day was allow. So this conversation was happening throughout the week. And of course, the self-love workshop was on allow day. So allowing yourself to receive.
Yeah, it was great. And you got to kind of like we went up the legs and then you kind of got to the belly and you were like, yeah, like if you could get like under, if you have a tank top or whatever. And then I just saw like shirts getting whipped off, you know, I was like, okay, they're all good. You know, they have their sports bras on or whatever, but like everyone was just like massaging there and it was beautiful. Like, and I'm sure every single person in that room, including me, you know, has had many moments, a million, trillion moments in their life where they're like, oh, like my belly or my triceps or my butt or, you know, and it was, yeah, by the time that day rolled around. But I'm glad you brought that up, Meg, about our intentions. Would you share what your intention was?
Yeah, my intention was contentment in, you know, practicing tools together to work with the ups and downs of life, you know, the challenges and the joys. And, you know, on our forest bathing hike, we spoke a lot about this as well, this sense of contentment that you see in nature, you know, I thought that was a really lovely experience, just connected to that intention.
Yeah, and a little bit more on yours, Val, like this permission to receive, like, you know, as our meditation teacher would say to us, you know, it's all coming from within. So you too have learned this, but I'm sure you're still learning it as a mom of three and a business owner with your husband and then a business owner with yourself and then collaborating with us and all the other things that you do, like shop like a queen and send us gifts and all these other amazing things that you do. But yeah, like
secret.
But yeah, like what is that? What was your intention? Just restate it. And, you know, what is the importance around that?
Yeah, permission to receive, I think for many people can be a very difficult thing to do. And it wasn't just, I mean, permission to receive, but also permission to release, because that was a big part of the somatic practice. But also I think the container that we got to see that was built among these amazing women that were trusting with themselves and with each other and with us, that's what kind of sparked their ability to allow that to happen, to release, as so many of them did in the somatic breath work, and even through the asana practice, like we're releasing even there as well, kind of stepping into very uncomfortable boxes that they're typically not put in and allowing themselves to be there, is also kind of the place of receiving whatever that may be. And sometimes it's not always the comfortablest thing to do. But I think when we can say, give yourself the permission, it's this bigger like, oh yeah, I can do that.
What was your intention, Jess? I don't think I heard that.
No, you did not. My intention, and it came so quickly, and it was just one word, which was effortlessness. And that dates back to, you know, yoga teacher training when our mentor, Philip, and his partner, Renee, who is another instrumental mentor in my life, was at this retreat. All of us was at this retreat. Like amazing. I just wanted to put her in a bottle and keep her by my bed and in my backpack at all times. You know, and it's in my yoga notebook, which made the trip and is still on a bookshelf. He said, I think it was like one of the first days, like it takes no effort to be you. And you can even see where I was writing in the notebook that day, like it's bore through to the pages below because I kept writing it over and over. Like, I think I was getting a little bit of anger out because I was like, it takes so much effort to be me. It takes so much effort to be me. And this was, you know, 13 years ago. And even then, like I was meditating, I was eating plant-based, I was, you know, practicing kindness and trying to off-gas things that didn't serve me anymore. So we're always a work in progress, but that's something that's never left me. And it's been this underlying fuel for my every day. And so my intention was that they could leave with the remembrance of what it felt like to be in a state of effortlessness, which I believe is remembering your true nature, even if it was just for a moment. And so, yeah, it's,
last night too, when we were doing that that beautiful receiving of their essence, which is very vulnerable spot to be in sometimes. We had them stand up and each person goes around and in that moment says what they see in that person. And and I think it was Renee that said it, for someone it was, you already are. And that is exactly what effortlessness is. If we can really connect to that and know we already are, everything else is just kind of gravy from there.
Yeah. Well, what about the moments? Because this always happens. I've experienced it too. The moments of joy and laughter and the dancing. Can you guys share some moments in the face massage? Like, share some moments, because when you go on retreat, it's not all about like, well, let's, you know, get down to business and bring up the tears. It's like, let's do some healing, but also let's have some fun. So where was the joy in belly laughs?
Yeah, well, I got belly laughed at several times during my face yoga. So my part of the workshop was, we started with Gua Sha, and I talked about lymphatic drainage and, you know, was using all my smarts from massage school. And then I moved into face yoga and talked about the benefits. You know, we're doing yoga for most of our body. We're not really doing face yoga. And apparently I've been practicing face yoga now I had done it years ago, but really pretty religiously for the past maybe like 4 or 5 months. And, but I do it in the dark in the morning in front of the fireplace, and you're there, but you know me, honey, like we have like no lights on in the house. We're stumbling over things because I just love to savor the darkness in the morning. So apparently you've never seen me do it. I've never seen what I look like when I do it. But then I sat myself in front of, you know, 13 women with these two as well. And Val was about 6 inches in front of me on her mat. And I did the first pose and they just were falling over, like hysterically laughing.
So funny. I can blackmail her at some point in time if I ever need to.
I don't. Well, like I said, I think that picture looks so crazy. It looks like I'm actually reaching the eighth limb of yoga.
Yeah, it does. You're right.
So that was pretty good. Face yoga was comedy. But a bonus of this retreat was this cold plunge pool, which is just the pool that they have there, but Gabrielle doesn't heat it. It's 48 degrees. And she's like, I think it's perfect. And then, of course, this like totally legit hot tub that we would all get into after. But that was an interesting contrast because we were all giddy and laughing and, you know, being kind of like, I don't know, like kind of trash talking a little bit, like going into the plunge. But then you get into 48 degree water and it's all breath. It is like nervous system response, you know? And so how do you have that nervous system sovereignty and use your breath to calm? So that was another, I think, like super joyful, because then we get out and we're like, wow, like we feel great. And then we get in the hot tub and lots of laughs in the hot tub. But what do you guys remember?
For me, one of, I think, the most profound moments of joy was when we decided to take them on something that we had already planned, which was the forest bathing, but it had started to rain. And so it was kind of like, oh, we could just stay in and do something else or not. And we were like, I think Jess, you're like, no, we got to get them out. We have to get out and go. But it would have been so easy, right? To say, well, it's kind of crappy out. Let's just stay in. And the looks on the women's face, once we got up this beautiful trail, I think it was called the Peaceful Trail, right? It was a peaceful trail right behind Ojas. And it was so beautiful when you got to the top and got to see. And it was led by both Meg and Jess. And there was just such joy on everyone's faces. And I think it was part of just being in nature, like feeling the rain, like most people shy away from it. Not everyone's like out in the rain having fun. You brought that incredible, just what was it to our sense, choose a sense and really stay on that till we got to the top. And that was, we were in silence going up there. And it really created this, I think, curiosity and just adventure, like childlike, that we so often get away from. When we become adults, we get so boring. Like we can't be curious and have fun. And I think it allowed that playfulness in everyone. So I really thought that was great.
We had put coloring books out actually the second day in, and it was super sweet just to see folks, you know, getting around the table, just like you would like a little kid, you know, and quiet, but coloring. I mean, there was just like a joy in that. I joined them a couple times. We also had like a Frisbee out at one point. We just wanted to say, hey, just like on the day of allow, just like allow yourself to play. And then of course, last night ended, as I mentioned earlier, with, yeah, our dance party, and we got the drums out and just so many laughs. And it was, yeah, it was a great way.
Right? The permission to be silly, to get out there, to allow themselves to have fun in ways sometimes that they may not do that on their own. Like, yes. It's easy to be like, you know, I'm too old for this. Or,
well, it was so wild last night because, I mean, they needed to unleash. And I don't think any of us knew how much they needed to unleash, because I was like, okay, I'm going to make ashwagandha milk, which is another thing we were doing every night. We got everyone addicted to this ashwagandha milk that we were making, and everyone was sleeping like so, like we'd drink it and then we'd all be like, okay, I got to go to bed. It was like 7:30, 7:45. But last night I was like, okay, I'll ashwagandha milk. And then we moved the tables. Oh, because we wanted to do that exercise. And then Meg's like, let's put some music on. I said, oh, okay, I'll grab my speaker. So I grabbed my speaker and you put some music on. Next thing you know, they get the drums up and there's like a drum off going on between these two women. It was hysterical. And it was like a riot. Like there was like a group of people around. They were like drumming, and another person's drumming. And I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. And it was kind of chaotic because the music was not matching the drums at all, but nobody cared. Yeah, it was awesome. It was so awesome. We were having a really good time. The drum off was like insane.
You gotta have those experiences. You must have them. I love that you talked about us as adults. We get so locked into what's comfortable. The rain, not dancing, not playing drum, not coloring. Like we get so locked into being an adult, which like we feel like we have responsibility and we always need to be on and we need to like know things. And what happened to the time when we didn't know things? And we think that curiosity, what you talked about, is such an important piece to pull upon. And the dance parties for me, you know, uncomfortable spot. I wasn't there for this one, kind of bummed. But in Costa Rica, we were ripping up that floor, which was awesome. And it was spontaneous too. And in Maui, oh my goodness, Maui, yeah. With the photos in Maui captured it all. So there's the thread that I want to talk about, like as a group and as leaders for retreats, you're creating all this joy, safety, curiosity. You're providing this in the retreats, no matter where you go. Who is this for? Like, they're listening to this. They're like, I can't go on retreat. I can't do that. Like, I can't have ashwagandha milk. I can't, I can't go on a trail and not speak or have breakfast or meditate. Like, who are your retreats for? Cause this is, I don't know, your 9th or 10th one. And I'm sure you're not stopping. There's plenty more coming up. So who's someone that would be attracted to this, or who would be good for?
Well, what our guests keep showing us is that it's for yoga teachers. It's for yoga teachers who train teachers. It's for people who maybe are stepping onto the mat for the first time at the retreat. It's people who are curious about a higher state of health and well-being. It's for people who are curious about what does it feel like to allow myself to do something that's just for me. You know, from every single meal was plated for them by Chef Matt. By the way, shout out to Chef Matt Purnell, who's here in Southern California. Amazing man, who we met years ago. And then I walked into the kitchen at Ojos and he was like, Jess. I'm like, Matt, what's happening? It's really, you know, it feels so blah to say like it's for everyone, but I think it's for really those people that I was just speaking on. It's for people who are curious and like, is this conversation sparking something? Because it's not just yoga. They are really evolving on their own into wellness retreats that encompass so much, from food to self-talk to breath work to learning how to release stress to ancient medicines to meditation to playing frisbee, cold plunging, hiking. I mean, it's just, it's full wellness. And BJ, you and I know, because we live it, it's nothing less than a lifestyle. So what's happening, and that's how Val and Meg live too, it's like what's happening is that it just continues to expand out. And, you know, they're really becoming these wellness retreats.
Yes. Yeah. And just to piggyback off of that, Jess, you know, we've had young people, or teens rather, like 17, 18. We had the sisters that came all the way up to retirees. You know, my cousin Trisha came on this trip, which is so incredible. And she had never been on a yoga retreat before, and she's retired, and she just kind of jumped right in. You know, and I think the way even we offer the yoga classes, there's always modifications, and just across the board, it's accessible to so many.
Yeah. And if it's okay to just speak a little bit about, like, Trisha was amazing because she had never been on a yoga retreat before. And sometimes she would just come into class and just like observe and learn about yoga and not even be practicing on the mat, which was incredible. And we've had, you know, we had a gentleman in Costa Rica who really enjoyed more like yin yoga, and he would come to the vigorous morning vinyasas and just be in Shavasana or child's pose and just kind of did his own thing, but being in the environment, incredible. And so the stepping away for multiple days is like, it puts you into this incubator to learn and experience those things that we're curious about in such a rapid pace, but also in a way where you're absorbing it so well. Yeah.
And just to add to that, that curiosity. So if you are someone that has that curiosity and have a spark, and it's so easy to rationalize in your mind, not now, because of X, Y, and Z. And we all have those not now because of that. But it's like, if that fire keeps coming up, if that curiosity, that it's there and it's showing you that you're ready for something of such like this. And I think the other beautiful thing that we do in these retreats are all that we said, but we also give tremendous amount of space. And in the space is where we get to connect to what it is that we're, you know, maybe there that we are not sure, and in the space that's to come up. And the ability to be heard. And so many people just want to be able to be in a safe space where they're heard and not being looked at that they need to be fixed in any way.
Yeah, I was actually going to talk about the space, like, especially from, so we're all trained under the same yoga teachers. We work with the same meditation teacher. A lot of it's about space and stillness and quiet, because that's where we can sort of uncover and discover ourselves and our relationship to our thoughts and to our agendas and who we think we are. So I love that you mentioned that, because the retreats are very spacious. It's not filled. The whole days aren't like jam packed, and we didn't even really address the actual yoga that was practiced at
retreat. We did practice yoga,
which is a testament to say it's not the sole focus. It's part of it. It's part of that wellness that we're all doing. So yeah, if you guys are interested, check out boundlessretreats.com for more information. And please watch out for Instagram accounts for all three, Meg, Val, and Jess, because they do go live every so often together to talk about retreats, and you can join them live and ask them questions about what's coming up or what you're working through. This is a very exciting time for what they're producing, because everything is coming from love and coming from creativity, and what they're delivering to you is an amazing product. I've experienced it myself, and I've had our athletes here at Yogi Triathlete experience it as well. So don't delay any longer. If not now, when?